Well, praise God. We are destined to win. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you could join us once again as we get into the Word of God today in the first netcast of 2011. Here it is, 2011. And, I said recently, I'm still getting used to 2010, and here it is, 2011. It seems like time just is flying by. And we want to talk a little bit about times when it comes to the Lord and to spiritual things today on the netcast. So let's get into that. Before I do, let me just encourage you, as I always do, to tune in to WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio, and listen to our Word of Faith broadcast. We come on Monday through Friday. That's Monday through Friday at 11:30 in the morning. That's Eastern time, so you can adjust that time depending on where you live, what your time zone is, because I know people are watching literally all around the world. So I encourage you to tune in to the Word of Faith broadcast, and then this netcast, the audio portion, because we shoot this in video, the audio portion of this airs on Sunday mornings, right after Kenneth Copeland. He comes on at 9 in the morning on Sunday mornings, Eastern time, and we follow him at 9:30 Eastern time. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities to get into the Word of God, and I just believe it'll be a blessing to you. Now, you know, every year it seems that we reflect back on the past, but we look forward to the future. And that's a good thing overall. I think we need to examine where we are and where we're headed to really make sure we're staying on track. And so I think that's a good thing to do. A lot of people are doing it from a natural perspective. You know, well, I need to make a resolution to lose weight. I need to do this. I need to do that. And, I need to be kinder. I need, you know, whatever. All those things are fine. At least to the point that you keep those resolutions that actually do the things that you're saying you want to do. If you're not going to do them, you know, why confuse your spirit by saying, I'm going to do it this time and then not do it? So you need to actually do the things that you are promising yourself to do. The other thing I'd encourage you to do is at the first of a year, this is a good thing, is to take a pencil and paper in hand and write down things that you're going to believe for and believe to receive this year. I think a lot of the problem we have in our spiritual life is that we're sort of random about it. We're not methodical. And by that I mean we don't take the time to plan what it is we're trying to accomplish in the spirit realm. We tend to look at it as just, oh, we're just going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to go from day to day, you know. And we don't think in terms of what would I like to accomplish. See, I believe that every believer has a destiny. They have something that God has designed for them to do and has specially equipped them to do. And so you need to be working toward fulfilling the destiny that God has for you. We need to actually make plans. We need to pray. We need to specifically seek God for wisdom and revelation in those areas that He wants us to grow and develop, and I believe excel in. See, we should be excelling. We should be looking at not just getting by, but in actually doing well. Amen? Now, we believe we're blessed, but it's just a general blessing. You know, what is it you desire to accomplish spiritually? What is it you desire to accomplish mentally? What is it you desire to accomplish physically? Write those things down and pray about them on a regular, consistent basis. And then as they come to pass, check them off. And I believe you'll find that you're advancing. And as you advance, you're advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? Now let's look at a few scriptures that you may think are kind of not related, but I want you to see a principle, an underlying principle. in these scriptures. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 and look at verse 4. Now look what it says. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, what I want to center up on here is the first part of the scripture where it says, when the fullness of the time was come. You know what that implies to me? That implies to me very strongly that God has seasons, times. As a matter of fact, Billy Brim was teaching on Brother Kenneth Copeland's program not that long ago, and she was talking about a Hebrew phrase, a word that expresses this. The term is moeds. There are moeds with God. What's a moed? A moed is an appointed time. A moed is something that cannot be changed. Amen? Now, God gives us free will. That's absolutely true. But there are things that have to occur on the world stage. Not in an individual's life, but on the world stage. They have to occur at certain moeds, certain specific points in time. Jesus coming in the flesh to redeem us was a moed. I think we can see it very clearly from the scripture. When the fullness of the time was come. The fullness of the time means there was an appointed time. Before that appointed time, had he come, it would have been early. After that appointed time came, had he come after that, it would have been late. But he came at the fullness of the time. You say, Dr. Bill, why are you pressing this point so hard? Because I want you to see there are moeds. There are appointed times. I'm talking about, again, on the world scene. See, a lot of people take this and personalize it so deeply that they think that in terms of, for an individual person, that there are appointed times only, and they misinterpret Scripture. There's a Scripture that talks about, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. A lot of people read that Scripture, and they read into it something it doesn't say. It does not say there is an appointed time for every person to die. Amen? That's what they think. But look at what it actually says. It is appointed unto man once to die. In other words, that scripture specifically eliminates the teaching or the thought or the doctrine of reincarnation, where someone is born and dies and is born and dies and comes back over and over and over, which many religions teach and many people believe. But that is not scriptural. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. It didn't say it's appointed that on July 11th of 2035, so-and-so is going to die. You see what I'm saying? It's saying you only die once. You're born once, physically. You're born again, spiritually. But then you die physically once. And for the believer, that is just basically like taking off a coat. That is not an extreme event. You might say, dying is not an extreme event. Dr. Bill, that sounds a little strange. No, for the believer, I said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, you put off this garment of the flesh and you go to be with the Lord. I mean, in a sense, there's nothing to it for the believer. Now, unfortunately, if you're not a believer, if you're not born again, and you put off the flesh, then it's just beginning the pain and the torment because of hell. And God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. He doesn't send anybody to hell. A lot of people say, God sends you to hell. No. God designed hell for the devil and his angels. But when you are connected spiritually to a being, in this case, the devil, where he goes, you are pulled with him. And so his ultimate end is hell. your ultimate end is hell if you are connected to the devil. You say, well, I'm not a devil worshiper. No, but Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. Making it very clear that people that aren't born again are connected to the devil. It's because of Adam. Adam committed high treason. He sold out the entire human race so that the entire human race is all connected to the devil unless they are redeemed, unless they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the scripture is talking about. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When we receive that adoption of sons, now we're no longer connected spiritually to the devil. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. Beyond that, we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. With all the rights and privileges thereunto appertaining. as it says on the diplomas, you know, when you get a graduation diploma. You have all the rights pertaining to being a son of God. So it's more than just getting your ticket punched and going to heaven. But let's get back to what we're talking about. We're talking about the fullness of time. Now, in order to understand this, let's look at the definitions that are involved here. Pleroma is the Greek word for fullness. It means repletion or completion. That is what fills content, supplement, copiousness, multitude, or objectively what is filled. In other words, it is to complete. If I've got a glass that's 8 ounces and I have water and I start pouring water into that glass, if I stop halfway, it is not completely filled. But if I keep pouring water until it comes right up to the brim of the glass, it is completely filled. Amen? If I keep pouring, it'll run over. But the thing is, the completeness is a fulfillment. That word fulfillment, it is a completeness. All right, now the next word, time, the fullness of time. The word time here is the Greek word chronos. It's where we get the word chronometer, which is basically a watch, a clock, something that measures time. But a chronometer is very accurate in its measuring of time. And it comes from that word chronos. That is, it says, of uncertain deviation. I'm not pronouncing it correctly. Deviation. I don't know why I can't get that word out. It's to derive, and it is derivation. Thank you, I got it. A space of time in genitive case, and thus properly distinguished from another Greek word, G2540 in the Strong's, which designates a fixed or special occasion. This is what we're getting to here, a fixed or special occasion, and denotes a particular period or interval, by extension, an individual opportunity. Okay? A special occasion, a particular period, an individual opportunity. So, the fullness or completeness of this fixed point in time had to come. This is the very description of that Hebrew word we talked about, moed. The moeds of God. Now, why do I get into all of this? I want to get into all of this because I believe, from a world perspective, this year is the beginning of a moed. It is the beginning of a fixed period of time that has to come. And that is to draw the body of Christ closer to the Lord. Now, you know, at the beginning of a lot of years, people come up with a phrase to kind of, you know, be the theme for the year. And I believe I've got one for us, and that is 2011 is the year that we draw closer to heaven. 2011, the year we draw closer to heaven. Now, I don't mean that in the sense of that we're closer to dying and going home to be with the Lord, you know, which the scripture says is far better, but that's not my point. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's got an agenda. Amen. Heaven has an agenda. We're here to be representatives of God. We represent Him here on the earth. The Word of God says we are ambassadors of God. An ambassador represents the country that he's from in another country, a foreign country to him or to her. So we're of heaven, and we're here in the earth, which is a foreign country. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we're aliens and strangers in this world. Okay? We're of heaven. So when I say that we need to draw closer to heaven, I'm saying we need to listen more closely to God's instructions. We need to listen more closely to what he has for us to do. Do you see that? We need to be more in tune. Brother Copeland, in his beginning of the year message, was talking about we need to stay in the flow. Now, his point was everything's going to be all right for the believer in 2011 if you stay in the flow, which is why I'm taking it to the point of 2011, the year we need to draw closer to heaven, closer to the agenda that God has for us, closer to what his desire and his destiny for us is as believers. So, more study of the Word, more close attention to spiritual things, less attention, when I say it this way, I'm saying it this way for a purpose, less attention to the natural world and what's going on, the events of the natural world, more attention to what's going on in the spiritual realm and the events in the spiritual realm. Do you see what I'm saying? Why? Because the spiritual realm is what's causing the natural realm to go the direction it is. There are all around us powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those creatures, those beings, demonic forces, are manipulating world events, manipulating people and politicians and people that are in authority in the world system to take the world down a direction that Satan wants it to go. We, as representatives of God, are here to pull down those strongholds, pull down those spiritual forces that are attempting to take the world in a negative direction, because we, as believers, are the salt of the earth. See, that term has come to mean nice people. Oh, we're the salt of the earth. Well, that's not really what it's talking about. Back in those days, in Bible days, salting meat was the way you preserved the meat. You salted it, and it drew out the moisture, and it preserved the meat so that it wouldn't spoil. We are here on this earth as preservatives. We're here to preserve the world until the appointed time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes us out of here in the rapture of the church. Until that appointed time, which is another moed, another appointed time that God has set on his calendar. Now see, Jesus said, we, mankind, does not know the day or the hour that Jesus will return. And Jesus even said he didn't know that day or hour. Only the Father knows that day or hour. But you know what it does mean? There is a day. There is an hour. There is an appointed time for the rapture of the church. There is an appointed time. See, I believe that there was an appointed time, a moed, that was when Noah and his family were taken out of that situation that they were in, where the world was going so far downhill that God basically repented, it said, that he made man. That's terrible that God would think that and say that. But he took the remnant, the few, the Bible says the few which were saved, and that few was eight people. Eight people out of all that were left in the world. My goodness. But those eight people he preserved, he took out of that situation, and an appointed time. It was an appointed time. We know it was an appointed time because God told Moses, God told Noah, told Moses too, what he told him, you know. But in this case, he told Noah that he needed to build this ark, he needed to get it ready, and it needed to be ready at an appointed time. And at that appointed time, the rain began to fall. And the ground opened up and released water. And the earth was flooded at that appointed time. That was a Moed. Well, there's another appointed time coming. And that appointed time is when the church will be raptured, will be taken out. Just like Noah was taken out with his family. We're going to be taken out of the situation. And the family of God will be taken out. Amen? Praise God. It's funny sometimes how you get something like that in your mind and it just flips a switch and you keep saying it that way. But I'm going to get it right. Praise the Lord. The point is, there's a Moed. There's an appointed time coming. The appointed time for us is that rapture of the church. That's the point at which our earthly ministry, if you will be over with. Until that time, we need to be busy. And what I believe is happening this year is there's an appointed time that has come upon the church at large for us to start getting really serious about spiritual things. It's an appointed time. It's a time we need to take seriously and a time we need to start preparing, studying, praying, concentrating on the spiritual realm. 2011 is a time to draw closer to heaven. Amen? This is the time that's going to separate the people that will follow religion from the people that will follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And I'm for the Spirit of God and the Word of God. That's the direction I want to go. I don't have anything to do with religion. Religion will kill you. Amen. You say, but Dr. Bill, you're a teacher of the Word. Yes. I'm a Christian. I'm not religious. You may have noticed that. I'm not religious. I don't wear the suit and the tie and all the trappings. I have worn suits and I've worn ties. Nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But I just want to be honest with you. Just me and you right here talking together. I want to share with you what I am feeling in my spirit is coming upon us. This is an appointed time. We need to take it seriously. We need to do what God wants us to do in this appointed time. Amen. Are you getting this? Are you seeing this? I believe it's important, and I believe it's a time you need to set aside some time to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20. It's only one chapter in Jude, so it's Jude verse 20. Beloved, building yourselves up. Oh, I tell you, it's something you ought to be doing every day. Every day, every day, every day, praying in the Holy Ghost. And praying for guidance and direction. And praying for your destiny to come to pass in this earth. God's got something set aside for you to do that is just above and beyond all you can ask or think. And He's 100% behind you. Amen? He's for you. And you need to be for what He is for. Which is why I'm saying draw closer to listen to heaven and what He has for us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, I just wanted to give you this message. I believe it's the message for 2011. It's what we're being called to do. And so I'd encourage you to pray along these lines. I believe you're already seeing this. I believe you're already sensing that the truth in this. But pray about it and see what God wants you to do. Amen. You can always write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213. That's 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And, of course, as always, you can write me here if you want to just send me an email and let me know how the netcast is ministering to you. I'd love to hear from you. You can write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, That's a B, not a D. D-R, as in doctor, D-R, B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Love to hear from you. Love for you to take advantage of our website, www.wofm.org. We've got a lot of teaching there. Matter of fact, we've got a message that I just taught a few days ago, last week, that I really believe you need to get a hold of. And that is, whose report will you believe? Go to the little tab there at the top of the page where it says Messages by Dr. Bill. Click on that. And then you can either listen to it streamed directly to your computer, listen online, or you can download it and listen to it on your MP3 player or whatever. And it's an MP3 file. You can download it, listen to this message. Whose report will you believe? If you've got somebody that's dealing with sickness and disease, particularly life-threatening sickness and disease, that message is one you need to take to them and play it for them. I'm serious now. Play it for them and let them hear what the Word of God says about believing the report of the Lord, not the report of the world. The report of the world isn't necessarily incorrect, as in, you know, completely wrong. It's just not a higher truth, the higher truth being the truth of God's Word. So that message, I believe, will be a tremendous blessing to you. So that's just one of the things we have on the website that's available to you. So go there and check it out. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.